All right, let's get to your top story, which is what Vladimir Putin is going to be doing here in the spring. I'll ask you this question. Is Putin and the Russian army about to launch a massive offensive? Perhaps that's coming. Perhaps is Putin about to launch a massive cyber warfare campaign against Ukraine? Well, the New York Times would have you believe that that's the case. So is this deep state propaganda at work once again by the U.S. intelligence community? Let's dig into this story a little bit. So we've already established how the New York Times is the go-to newspaper for the U.S. intelligence community, right? We've talked about that here on the show. According to John D'Souza, who is a 25-year veteran of the FBI, D'Souza told me directly on this show that if the deep state wants a story out there, if they want to get a story out there, they first go to the New York Times to disseminate that story. He said that's well known in the intelligence community. Also on that list, you have the Associated Press, you have the Washington Post, etc.
Reuters.
Reuters, exactly. And then, of course, in the UK, you've got the BBC. So we already know that's the case. The New York Times is a tool of the U.S. government. So if you picked up the paper this morning, you might have seen this headline. Russia's spring offensive in Ukraine could include cyber attacks, Microsoft says. Microsoft says. That's interesting. Does Microsoft stand to gain anything by pushing this propaganda? Well, it turns out you might even ask the question about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, does Bill Gates stand to profit at all from this propaganda? Gates still holds $19 billion in Microsoft stock. So the answer is yes. Well, it turns out that Microsoft is a military contractor for Ukraine. Don't believe me?
I believe you.
Just read it right on Microsoft's own website. Here's Microsoft's website, blog.microsoft.com. Extending our vital technology support for Ukraine. Now, and you'll see in that picture, look at that picture. That was taken at Web Summit, which was here in Lisbon, Portugal. And I remember at the time hearing about this panel, we covered Web Summit here on the show, and Microsoft there wearing a flag pin, one executive from Microsoft wearing a flag pin, sitting next to other Ukrainian t-shirt wearing guys. So what does Microsoft say about the Ukrainian infrastructure? Here's what Microsoft reports on their own website. By dispersing digital infrastructure into the public cloud, Microsoft and others have supported critical Ukrainian services through data centers across Europe, as underscored in Microsoft's report in June. This has played a critical role in protecting the resilience and security of Ukraine's data and digital services, even in the face of Russian cruise missile and other kinetic attacks on Ukraine's government data center and other physical assets. So Microsoft is not just the company that gave us Windows and Clippy. It also is a defense contractor, just like Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. But it goes deeper than that, because according to Fortune magazine, Microsoft tops the list of donors to Ukraine. Here's Fortune. Microsoft tops the list of largest private donors to Ukraine. $430 million. So on the surface, you might say to yourself, hey, that sounds great, very kind of Microsoft to donate that kind of money. But if you dive deeper into what they're doing, it's not altruistic at all. In fact, it seems like it's fully a profit-making center for Microsoft. According to Fortune, Microsoft, $430 million donation in cash and services. When Russia invaded, Microsoft helped the Ukrainian government move its computing from servers located in the country to the cloud.
Well, in fact, that is how the CIA employs most of their contractors. That's why you heard when Edward Snowden was announced that he was just a Dell employee. And he explains this quite eloquently in his book that most people who work for the CIA don't work on a government salary because they just don't make enough, but they can make a lot more by becoming a contractor. So that's why he was an employee of Dell, having never worked in a Dell building before. And he says it's the best known secret in all of Washington is that this is the way that the government transfers money to the private sector is through these contracting gigs.
Makes sense. Yeah, because he says go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, and also think about the digital ID and stuff that we've been talking about. That has to have an operating system. There's technologies inside that for tracking and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure that probably, I'd have to think Microsoft is involved somehow.
Oh, I would think you mean the Ukraine digital transformation tracking ID system. Yeah, I would
exactly.
think. Because if according to Microsoft, put this back up if you wouldn't mind, Philip, Microsoft's $430 million donation in cash. So they say it moved its government computing from it helped the Ukrainian government move its computing from servers located in the country to the cloud. It moved the entire Ukrainian government onto Microsoft servers. That's in addition to cybersecurity defense and threat detection services that the company is donating to the government. Oh, how altruistic of you. And through some private sector actors. The company matched $10 million in employees donations and donated additional cash and services to humanitarian organizations. Oh, so Microsoft was kind enough to take the entire Ukrainian government and put it on Microsoft's servers. That's altruism.
But you know what? Through propaganda such as this, well, reporting such
right.
as this, we'll
reporting
call it.
Reporting such as this.
They also will be able to sell you plenty of security programs and anti-malware software and things like that, because you're going to get scared with this kind of thing, as if a Russian hacker can't get through something like that.
Right. But something else needs our attention. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and as a government, why would you put yourself in a position? Because then if there's ever U.S. sanctions, Microsoft can no longer hold your data.
That's a good point. You have to have a lot of confidence, right, to do something like that.
But there's always carve out and loopholes, right? We've seen all sorts of loopholes and carve outs for what the government wants in these Russian sanctions, right? We've certainly seen that in certain mineral Ukraine no power.
Which, you know, by many arguments, they had very little to begin with.
Right.
But what if they did have this attack of conscience and say, we can't align ourselves with the West anymore. Too many people are dying. We're going to actually go to peace talks with Vladimir Putin, agree to these new borders because the people themselves have voted, and we're going to stop this war. They would be the recipient of sanctions and not be able to access that data. That's a good point that David just made.
So the whole government of Ukraine is on Microsoft servers. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But something else needs our attention in this New York Times piece of propaganda. Reading now from the New York Times. This is the New York Times. The report also said that Russia appears to be stepping up influence operations outside Ukraine in a push to weaken European and American support for continuing military aid, intelligence sharing, and other assistance to the Ukrainian government. The effort would come as a faction in the Republican Party, and some in the Democratic Party, argues that supporting Ukraine is not a core interest for the United States. For now, Russia's main influence campaign is concentrated in Europe, but it will shift to the United States as the year gets closer to a presidential election, and that debate is going into the fall, said Clint Watts, the head of Microsoft's Digital Threat Analysis Center. Clint Watts, the head of Microsoft Digital Threat Analysis Center.
Oh, I see what you're planting here.
Clint Watts.
Election, you say.
Clint Watts. That's interesting. Head of Microsoft's Digital Threat Analysis Center. So who the hell is Clint Watts? And why is he the only source for this New York Times article? Oh, here's Clint Watts. Thanks to PBS. Here's a little bio of Clint Watts. PBS, an arm of the federal government. As Moon of Alabama reports, Clint Watts, you'll remember, was front and center of the now debunked Russiagate story. Thanks to Elon Musk and the Twitter files, we now know Clint Watts' name. We covered this on the show before. We've mentioned Clint Watts repeatedly here on Redacted. So when I saw his name pop up in this article, it set off alarm bells. I'm like, where do I know this guy from? Like, where do I know Clint Watts? Where do I know this name from? Well, he was the one and only person that the Democrats and MSNBC basically sourced in order to push their Russiagate story. The one person. Can you imagine? As Fox News reports, latest Twitter files show media Dems relied on a single source alleging Russian bot activity. It was a scam. So as journalist Matt Taibbi reported in January, Democrats like California Democratic Congressman Representative Adam Schiff, Dianne Feinstein, as well as Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat, kept pushing all these fake claims about Russia, that they were interfering in the elections, and that Hillary Clinton lost thanks to Russia. Twitter executives, of course, as we reported here on the show, were basically yelling at Congress saying, this is not true. We don't see any evidence of that. Even Joel Roth was telling them in emails, like, we should just, he even in one email was like, we just got to call BS on this. We got to just tell them this is BS.
Yes, that's what he said internally. But to their faces, he was more like, okay, we'll keep looking, but we don't see it.
You guys want to push this fake Russia story? Okay, I guess we'll go with that. So here is Matt Taibbi on these fake stories that were being created. Watch.
Matt, before you go, real quick, what happened when Twitter said, oh, well, we can't identify Russian bots. We can't identify that this was actually Russian disinformation. That's not what we're finding. Then what did they do to pressure Twitter?
Well, the usual means is they would go to their friends in the corporate press, and Twitter would be hammered by, you know, mainstream press organizations would say, basically, Twitter is not doing enough to combat foreign interference. As you know, because you were reporting on it at the time, Congressman Devin Nunes got an extraordinary amount of abuse because it was claimed that the hashtag release the memo was boosted by Russian bots. But we now know, based on stuff that we've seen internally in these emails, that there were no Russian bots, that Twitter was actually telling senators like Richard Blumenthal, don't do it, you're going to look foolish, and they did it anyway.
And when they didn't get what they wanted, they went to CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post, and they got stories manufactured against Twitter.
Yeah, that's how it works. So when you read this New York Times piece, you pick that up, think about that for a second. So Taibbi then did a deep dive report on the source for this fake news that Democrats were using. They were using something called Hamilton 68, as we've covered on the show. It's a so-called dashboard that was supposed to be monitoring Russian bot activity. That's the whole purpose of Hamilton 68, right? Taibbi wrote that Hamilton 68 was, quote, the source of hundreds, if not thousands, of mainstream print and TV news stories in the Trump years. One source. And we know that Hamilton 68 was, in fact, led by none other than former FBI special agent and now MSNBC contributor and also now head of Microsoft's Agency for Cyber Threats, which is Clint Watts, who now works at Microsoft.
That's all just too crazy.
Isn't it crazy how it all freaking comes together? But they think you're stupid. So you pick up the New York Times and you see this story, right? I mean, he's a known propagandist, this guy, Clint Watts.
Yeah. I mean, he's done with Russiagate. He did what he was supposed to do, you know, for that purpose. But this is like Russiagate 2.0.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So here you go. But now it
looks. New project.
If you see this.
Same blueprint.
And if you see this New York Times piece, you're like, oh, it's legitimate, right? Because Microsoft says it is, right?
Sure.
That's the headline. Russia's spring offensive in Ukraine could include cyber attacks, Microsoft says.
And unfortunately, a lot of these stories are coming up and it's just, you know, one source is saying one thing, but the Ukrainian army just this week did say that they want to mobilize a cyber army. They literally released a statement about that. And so a lot of times it's just literally the opposite right. of what we're seeing. We reported that in the newsletter this morning, the actual statement from the Ukrainian army and the person, the source was... I'm going to find it
Clint
for you.
Watts?
No. Her name was Natalia Tkachuk. Chachuk. And she said to Newsweek that Ukraine is regulating the creation and functioning of cyber forces.
Well, they are.
They literally are doing that. And so at the same time that they admit this to Newsweek, the New York Times just flips it on its head and says, no, Russia's doing it. And unfortunately, that's just what we see time and time again from the story we covered about the forces in Tigray. Like they just
in
make
Ethiopia.
It up
yeah.
in Ethiopia, the bombings of one place when we know it's a different party that did it. And it's just they're choosing their side and reporting it based on sources.
Well,
it's really unexcusable.
Well, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Go ahead, dude.
It's easy to do when they're silencing other places like Al Jazeera or RT or any other media organization that's covering the other side of the story. They shut that off. They can say whatever they want and nobody can counter, you know, do any research against it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, of course Ukraine has a cyber threat security division. It's run by Microsoft.
Well, but what they're asking for, though, this was the chilling part that scared me, is that they're looking for engaging cyber volunteers internationally.
Okay. So international hackers.
Not just Ukrainian hackers. They want all of them, anyone who is ideologically aligned, which scares me for many reasons. One, because, yes, of course, you could pull in more talent. Although, you know, if you read, you know, many reports that some of the Russian hackers are the best in the world. So do you really want to go up against them? And then also how this can bring the war into different borders, because will Russia then, you know, decide that the United States is a part of it because so many hackers are, you know, fighting on behalf of Ukraine? Will they decide that maybe Argentina, which has its own great army of hackers, you know, how far, where do the borders lie then?
Right. It is borderless at that point. Right. Yeah. And, you know, so, yeah, that's the cyber side of this discussion. And as we wrap this story up, there is the physical side of this, the actual military spring offensive, which by all accounts is coming. In what capacity, we don't know. And if you claim to know, you're wrong.
I just feel like the media is using every season change to get us ready for a new round of war. It's like, it's going to be summer, you know. Like,
it's the spring offensive.
It is just as predictable as Macy's ads.
I mean, they are literally saying May, this is going to happen. And to those people who are fighting day in and day out, I don't think that they really give a rat's ass about a season change. Oh, you mean the Japanese maples are in bloom in Washington, D.C.? It's time to roll our tanks into Kiev. You know, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, it's so, Labor Day sale? Okay.
Yeah, it's the mattress sale for whatever. It's time to mobilize our tanks. They don't care. And what's happening right now in Bakhmut is the collapse. And we at least are getting reports on the Ukrainian side that Ukrainian soldiers are very worried that this is about to be done. That as Ukrainian soldiers being interviewed from the Kiev Independent, basically saying they believe that Russia is about to taste victory there, and that this is a brutal battle that is collapsing all around them. According to the Kiev Independent, I'll just kind of go into the article just a little bit here. Just days, this one reporter writing for, I'm not sure who the byline is, Asimi Terajima from the Kiev Independent, writing, Donetsk Oblast in Donetsk, just days before heading back to fight in the Battle of Bakhmut, a Ukrainian soldier, Vladimir, who's 54, right? So we have a lot of like older soldiers fighting because the rest of the army has been destroyed. Said he felt ill-prepared, this Ukrainian 54-year-old says. When they drive us to Bakhmut, he says, I already know I'm being sent to death, Vladimir told the Kiev Independent during his brief stay in Kratomorsk in Donetsk, 25 kilometers west of the front line. Vladimir, an infantryman from the 93rd Mechanized Brigade, said he struggled to eat after fighting in Bakhmut for months. He looked shaken as he talked. For 2 months, Vladimir's unit was tasked with guarding Bakhmut against small Russian assault groups creeping into the city. Small Russian assault groups. Nothing like the onslaught we're perhaps about to see. The brigade was constantly under mortar fire as soldiers were outdoors, where shrapnels could wound or kill them at any moment. He says, the Russians keep firing at us, but we don't have artillery, so we have nothing to attack them with. I don't know if I will return or not. We are just getting killed. And that is the story over and over again, the destruction in Bakhmut and what's about to happen there. So spring offensive, yeah, probably likely. Massive cyber war that Microsoft will profit from, perhaps not. But, well, you know, pick your propaganda, I guess, and...
Oh, well, plenty of people will profit from it. It's just, you know, we never will know the true extent of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.